Are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Morning. You have tuned in to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM 97.5 FM, and your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he whom we cannot name. And my guest recruiting hasn't gone as well as I had hoped, so we have another open line program, so there's plenty of time to call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. And the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. 458-8255, 458-TALK. And so to kind of get some things that are going on, I guess we have to mention just a beautiful full moon last night. That was, if you were in Asia, I guess it would have been an eclipse, but we had just a beautiful full moon, and that our nights are getting longer, and that's an opportunity. Get out and enjoy the night sky, and the winter's coming, and we're going to have more opportunities to do that. So with that, we have several things, quite a few things going on in the state legislature that I think we will start the conversation with. The funding formula has been a big discussion actually for a couple of years, and finally the legislature formed a task force to look at the state foundation funding formula and how we're going to go out doing it. They had their first meeting a couple of weeks ago, and their next meeting is not until towards the end of October. I want to say the 28th. I'm not sure that that's exactly correct, but the next meeting is the end of October, so it's still 6 or 7 weeks away, and in the meantime, we have got to really start thinking about that. And in my view, we can't look at the education funding formula without also taking into consideration the bigger picture, the total revenue picture for the state, and the need for the state to address a long-term fiscal plan. And just to put that in context, there is a fiscal plan of sorts identified every year with the governor's message when he presents the his budget to the legislature. They project out if this level of funding is continued out to the next, for the next 10 years, what does it look like? And right now what it looks like is continued significant shortfalls in, if you will, current income to the state versus planned spend, idea of a deficit. It isn't technically a deficit because the state has to, the legislature has to pass a balanced budget. They can't, like the federal government, just pass a budget and then increase the debt ceiling every year. We have to balance it. So the way that the state has been, the legislature, I should say, has been balancing the budget is drawing from savings accounts. And we have two primary savings accounts. That is the statutory budget reserve, which right now the balance is, for all practical purposes, zero. And the other account that we have is the constitutional budget reserve. And the constitutional budget reserve takes 3 years to, or excuse me, 3 years, three-quarters vote of the legislature to access money that's in the constitutional budget reserve if we have borrowed money from it and not repaid that, which has been the case for the last, oh my goodness, I think 15 years or so. We have borrowed money from the CBR, so that then requires money that lapses to be put back in there, and we have to go through another vote to draw the money out, and that causes some challenge. Right now, the legislature, have a debt into the CBR of in the neighborhood of, I believe it's $17 billion that we have borrowed from that over the last several years. So that's really, and it's the what's left over in the constitutional budget reserve is in this year's budget in the neighborhood of $500 million, which is what the other thing that it's used for is cash flow balancing for the administration over the year. The state's money does not come in steady day to day. It comes in quarterly in tax reports and whatnot. So in the meantime, they have to have enough money to keep payments on the bills, et cetera. So that CBR is getting right down to the point where that isn't a practical source of current income or current money available to spend. And then just to keep it more complicated, there are quite a few other funds that have been specifically set up. Let's see, the word is designated. I got to choose my words correctly. Money has been designated for spending. For instance, there's an education fund. There is a power cost equalization fund and quite a number of other funds where money has been set aside that is accessible to the legislature, but then that starts to affect those programs. So we're down into a position where we really are running out of savings accounts, and we're looking at several years before the money that comes in from the North Slope oil development it starts showing up. We have some good news in the longer term. The Pikka oil field is expected to come online. There's going to be some royalty revenue coming off of that, but the corporate income tax revenue is going to be offset for several years by tax credits that were paid out, quite a few years ago to encourage people to develop that field. So there won't be a lot of cash coming directly from that for several years. There will be some more, about 80,000 barrels of extra oil coming into the pipeline that will offset the tariff, and that'll help the state and everybody else out for some. But that's not really going to have much of an effect for several years. And then Conoco is developing in the NPRA, the Willow Prospect. That is not expected to come online for probably 4 or 5 years. And so in the meantime, we have got to sort out this cash flow problem that the legislature is facing. And we can't just talk, I started with the education funding, we can't just talk about funding education without talking about that long-term fiscal plan. So we will keep going on that, but right now I've got a quarter after the hour. You're listening to Problem Corner. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. It is an open line program today. You can help me out by calling in, but right now we're going to go to some messages from our sponsors. Stay with us. More Problem Corner is coming up.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
No one needs to tell you when your sewer line or septic system is broken, it's a mountain of a problem. Move that mountain with Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Complete sewer and septic system installations, new builds, and repairs. The experience and the equipment to get your job done. On time, on budget. Call for your free quote, Moving Mountains Excavation and General Contracting. Move your mountain. Call Scott and Julie at 907-590-4977.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
KFAR weather.
Lows dip down to about 44 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun Tuesday. Slight chance of rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 63. Chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday night. Lows dip down to about 46. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner. And streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. And you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. We have an open line program, so you'd be doing me and probably the rest of the audience a favor by calling in and talking about whatever is on your mind. And the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And before the break, I was talking a bit about the education funding and the state's long-term fiscal plan. And what's going on there is that the legislature has established a education funding task force. And they have their initial meeting that was, well, just I think they pretty broad. I don't know if they're going to be able to get in there and focus on it, but they're working on that now. And then the next meeting of this education funding task force is coming up towards the end of October. But in the meantime, we need to be thinking about that. And right now, let's see, the topic that always makes the news is the base student allocation, and the legislature did pass an increase in the base student allocation, raised it by about $700, and the governor vetoed that, and the legislature overrode that. So there is an increase per student in the base student allocation. And what is important to realize about that is that that is just the districts report their attendance during a counting period starting in October, and that establishes a total number of students for that school year. And that has some challenges. People transfer around, et cetera, but that's what we have right now. And we have then what's called a base student allocation. From that, the number of students is multiplied by a special needs factor, and that's for students that are in gifted and talented programs, roughly. and those that might be needing extra help for one reason or another. And that multiplies the base student allocation by 1.2. And then the next factor that gets added in there is the, I said special needs. Now I get the extra needs students, and that are, they might have mental health problems or whatever problems that are more serious than just the special needs for education, and that is a per student multiplier, a factor. They then count up the number of students within a district in correspondence programs, subtract that number of students from the total allocation, do all the multiplying, and that increases to a final allocation. No, excuse me, that's not correct. Oh, no, that is correct at this point. There is a total of operating the schools, which differs, and it all comes up to a number that's quite a bit higher than the base student allocation in the end. And that the last time that that was changed was in 2000, and so this is becoming kind of obsolete. And so that's what they're working on right now. So all of that information is on the Department of Education's website. If you want to know more about it, write a note to the task force to let them know what your feelings are about that, but that is something that we have to look at. Another factor that comes into play is the federal impact aid, and the way that that works, federal law, states cannot tax the federal government, but the federal government, clear back, I believe it was in the 50s, decided that, well, that's not really practical. A payment in lieu of taxes for Eielson. We get paid other federal buildings and low-income housing and property that is owned by natives as a result of Anilka. And it all comes up to a total. And in Alaska, you've heard about the disparity test, and that is because the state takes the amount and they take 90% of that and then distribute it in a hopefully equal formula to offset the state's contribution to the education. Another factor that is going to come into that is going to be the required local contribution. And right now the state has a statute in place that the equivalent of 2.26 mils of taxable property within a municipality has to be dedicated to education, and that too offsets the state's funding, education funding obligation. And that is certainly something that I'm concerned about in the Fairbanks North Star Borough and other organized municipalities. It ends up being a burden that we are charged for, and the unorganized boroughs are not charged the federal impact aid, the required local contribution, because it was decided that they don't have a taxable or property tax base that is taxable. And that was a law that was passed in, about 15, 20 years ago as well, that gets adjusted up and down. But it ends up putting an extra burden per student, if you want to look at it that way, to the organized municipalities, and that is something that is going to have to be addressed. And then the final thing for education funding is the school bond debt reimbursement. That was a program that the state set up 30 or 40 years ago, and initially they were paying 90% of the bond. If a municipality issues a bond for school construction, the state was going to reimburse the municipality 90% of the cost of repaying that bond. Then when, about 10 years ago or so, they suspended payments, they've adjusted the amount that they're going to pay, etc., And so we now have an extra burden on municipalities, if you will, a self-imposed tax. You could say that the state has not upheld its end of the bargain, or you could say, no, we didn't really make an informed decision when we approved that bond. It was the expectation that the state was going to fund it. But there's a caveat there that it is subject to appropriation, and the legislature just has not funded that bond obligation consistently. So we've got a whole bunch of challenges that the Education Task Force is trying to sort out. And I just have to remind again, we're not getting people to call in. You can call in at whatever is on your mind, 458-8255, and we will go from there. We've got an open line program today. And so I've kind of beat education funding to death. Unless there's specific questions about that, we will move on. I have several bills that I think will be of interest. My primary goal, I guess, is on healthcare. We have some healthcare is a huge expense, and part of the problem is a shortage of providers, and so I've introduced a couple of bills over the years. Now, this year, the administration has taken up a bill to enable the state of Alaska to join the National Nurse Licensure Compact, and that is 40, I believe we're up to 43 states now have entered into a compact with each other that they are all agreeing to national licensing standards for nurses. Alaska has not yet joined that compact, and I think that that would be essential. Oh, but we are hearing the music in the background. We have Guns N' Roses for the bumper music, and that means the satellite's going to come over, take over the program. We're going to take a break to hear some national news, some weather, and some words from our sponsors. So stick with us, and we will be back after that. And
coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 668.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. ICE operating in Chicago, launching their latest crackdown on illegal migrants. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says governors should be working with the Trump administration.
You know, if Governor Pritzker, instead of trying to come up with tweets to criticize President Trump, he could deploy the National Guard himself in Chicago and stop the 7 or 8 murders every weekend if he cared about it. But he doesn't.
Mayor Brandon Johnson signing an executive order declaring city police would not collaborate with federal immigration agents. Congress back from summer recess, facing an October 1st deadline to fund the government or face a shutdown. Speaker Mike Johnson says Democrats are willing to work with Republicans, but there are some who want to shut the government down on purpose.
They are desperately searching for a solution, and some in the party apparently think a government shutdown would be some sort of political advantage to them. What we all know is dangerous and harmful to millions of Americans, and that is not the answer.
The CR would fund the government through the rest of the year. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports after 40 years in prison, Winona Fletcher, the youngest female convicted of murder in Alaska, is going to be released. A judge reduced Fletcher's sentence Monday, meaning that with good behavior time, the 54-year-old may be out as soon as this week. After a lengthy resentencing hearing over 2 days in August and September, Anchorage Superior Court Judge Jack McKenna reduced Fletcher's 135-year sentence to 60 years. Alaska's mandatory mandatory parole statute reduces criminal sentences by a third for good behavior, so Fletcher will be eligible to walk free immediately. Fletcher has been in prison since age 14 for her role in the murders of three elderly people, Anne and Tom Fascio and Amelia Elliott, in a 1985 Russian Jack neighborhood home invasion robbery. Prosecutors argued that while Fletcher had behaved well in prison, she still wasn't fully rehabilitated. The state asked that her sentence be reduced to 90 years and that she be given a chance to go before the parole board for discretionary parole.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
If you're a shooter, you know that the one thing you always need more of is ammo. But with today's prices, you feel like you have to take out a second mortgage just to stay proficient. Well, not anymore, thanks to 907ammo.com. 907ammo.com is your locally owned and operated outlet for a wide variety of calibers at a great price. And if you live on the road system, delivered right to your door. Go to 907ammo.com right now and put it in the cart, pull the trigger, and see it on your doorstep in just a couple of days. 907ammo.com, the last frontier's online ammo delivered.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and we are doing open line, anything that you want to talk about, give us a call, and we will take up the conversation. And again, the number to call is 458-8255, and that's 458-TALK. And we have a caller on the line, so we'll go to the telephone. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, good morning. This is Melody calling.
Melody, what's on your mind?
I wanted to bring up the downtown post office. I was there Saturday, and I was surprised to find that the doors were chained shut from the inside. The note on the door said, sorry, blah, 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 we close at 1 on Saturday, so there's still issues. But then I thought, well, I'll just switch to a post office closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went online and saw the reviews, they're horrible.
The reviews of the downtown post office?
Well, I didn't check that one because I know the issues there, well, they kind of stand right alone. But yep. No, I was going to go to a post office, the Geist Road post office, but the reviews there were horrible. And then I thought, well, I'll go to the U.S., what is it, UPS store, because they have mailboxes,
right,
and those weren't very good either. So it's like, wow, maybe I'll just stay where I am. But I was just kind of surprised, you know, that the doors would be chained from the inside. It's like, oh my God, now what's happened?
Yeah. Well, that's news to me. What sort of problems were they bringing up in the reviews?
Well, the one for Geist Road, it was just that there was absolutely no service. Packages, they'd get notice that their package was there, but then they'd go get it, or to go to the post office to get it, and then they would say at the counter, no, it's not here. Stuff like that, rudeness to customers, just the kind of stuff that, you know, you wouldn't go back if you didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I haven't even looked to see if they have any mailboxes available. But, yeah, I don't know. I just thought maybe other people would call in and say, yeah, you know, we moved because of, you know, the issues downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, there are specific issues. I think they're trying to take care of that with vagrants. And then the post office is having issues with they're running at a deficit as well. But
yeah,
thank you for pointing that out, and we might have some other callers. I've got another call right now, so we'll go to that call and see what we got.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Yeah, this is Phil. Hey, as far as that downtown post office, they have a real problem there, especially in the wintertime. People trying to sleep in there, they're defecating,
right,
they're urinating. I mean, they're doing all kinds of nasty things in there. I've spoken with Mayor Cruz about this a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
The police were in the habit of responding. However, They have notified employees there that they're essentially becoming a nuisance because of calling all the time. And they were actually told that they would be fined if they continued to call.
That's interesting.
There was an incident there last winter where a woman was attacked, a postal employee, almost stabbed. The individual was found not guilty because of the lack of physical evidence, I suppose, or video or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's been drive-by shootings down there within the last year and a half. That rounds hit right near a postal employee. So, I mean, it's kind of a bad situation down there. And the police are not, I understand the police are understaffed and they're really busy. But something needs to be done about these homeless people, wanting to get in there. That's the reason they chained the doors.
Right.
Because what they would do, they would manage to slip in there at night before the doors were actually closed and locked. And then they would stay there all night and make a mess out of things.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to bring something else up about this education system.
Yes, sir.
I saw yesterday about the test scores.
Yes.
And if you had a product that you were producing that only 80% or that 80% of the product was defective, that is not up to standard,
right?
You wouldn't stay in business very long. Yet that's what the local and even state education system is producing.
Yes.
You know, only 20% of the students are up to grade level, and man, that's just not acceptable.
Right. Yep, you make a good point, and certainly the public expectation is that they will meet academic standards, and that is definitely something we have to look at. The legislature did pass several years ago now the Alaska Reads Act, which has helped some in the reading. There is another bill, I don't have the number right off the top of my head, to apply the same principle for math. But yes, you make a very good point. The expectation is to meet an objective, measurable academic standard. And actually that requirement is even set by federal law as part of the, well, not No Child Left Behind, but the Education Support Act, and that's been around for a long time. The problem the education professionals will bring up, which is something worth considering, is that education is not quite the same thing as an assembly line. You make a good point. I have to think about it the same way. But they make a point that, well, no, we're having trouble with students coming in to kindergarten or whatever and just totally unprepared. Don't know how to tie their shoes, don't know how to keep still, etc. And they have a challenge with that. And they make a good point. But,
right, you know, and that's a valid point. However, you know, in years past, if you weren't up to grade level when you were done for the year,
yep,
you repeated that class. You
yes.
didn't get moved on. And that's what they're doing. They move these students on year after year after year.
Yes.
And I would like to see a representative from the NEA and the local school district come online and explain how it is that they can do this year after year.
Yep.
And offer no remedies to this situation. They ask for more money, but that's not the answer. There has to be a different approach.
Yes, I totally agree. I'm working with the school district. Hopefully we can get them on and discuss that and get their side of the story. And, well, things attendance. There is, I think if you miss more than 10% of the days, you're called chronically absent. And that makes sense. But are we really doing anything about that? And right now, the school isn't able to just hold someone back or tell them you're not fit for this particular academic environment, and parents, you need to do something else. They're not getting the support they need, but that is something we could look at, and also to get parents involved, more actively involved in their schools. One of the things that is working right, that the total statewide scores don't reflect, is the correspondence schools. They have more, well, part of the rules for correspondence school is not the rules. The whole thing is dependent on the parents. And that seems to be working out good. And charter schools are working out good. But that has to be looked at in addition to this funding debate, or nothing is going to happen. So thank you for calling. We have another call in, so let's go to this line. And good morning. You're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
Good morning, Mike. It's Miguel. How are you today?
I am well. And you?
I am doing great. Eating a little bit of lunch now. first, I want to say thank you for being on today. Second, I want to thank everybody from Fairbanks who emailed, called in, or went in person to testify yesterday against this ordinance 6323. Thanks to the council that they all voted against it about the political signage on our own very own property and stuff like that. So I just want to give kudos to the council for doing the right thing and realizing that political candidates do all have common sense, and that there's different elections at different times. So sometimes signs get frozen into the ground and cannot be taken out. Yep. And, you know, we have state, federal, and local elections that are not in the time frames that were specified within that ordinance. So thank you to the city council. And on another note, I think I read somewhere the other day where our school board president, she put out numbers the other day saying they're already showing a decline of enrollment in our schools. So I hope the legislature is going to take a look at that at all the school districts and finding out what their actual enrollment are based off, you know, what was voted on in this last special session.
Yeah, me too. Because, yes, a good part of the reason that the school districts are losing revenue is that, well, part of it is there is a declining student population, declining birth rate. There are people leaving the state. But a bigger factor that we do have some control over is parents taking their children out of the neighborhood school, if you will, and enrolling them into a correspondence program. And then the school district loses all of that revenue. Just that
of
makes
course.
Sense. Should.
But
we
all agree that the parents should have their right to choose how their children are educated. I don't think anybody's against that.
Yeah. No, so. that is essential. That it has to be that way. And then the other side of that is parents have to take responsibility. If they're going to send their children, well, they have to send their children to public school, is the law. But if they're going to do that and take advantage of state money to fund it, they should be paying attention to their kids and helping the school district out. That is Mike Crox's opinion.
Yeah, I hear you. And another thing is, I guess this starts at the local level. Well, I would like to see budgets proposed with deferred maintenance in there. Unfortunately, I think deferred maintenance gets away.
It gets overlooked, yes.
It gets overlooked, and I don't think anybody wants their children going to a public school where the heating system's out or ceiling's about to fall in, and then you've got to go ask your local assembly for a one-time emergency fund. I think that should just be, in my opinion, calculated within the budget that's presented forth. I don't know how you feel about that.
Right. Well, I agree. It, just as a matter of business practice, and this is not just school district, but state building issues as well, it is politicians don't get a whole lot of credit for maintaining buildings. They get credit for authorizing spending on new buildings. And there's just all kinds of counter incentives for that. And there is, I want to say that the just a standard number, if you're going to build a building, you should set aside, I believe it's 3% of the cost of the building for deferred or for maintenance expenses. And we're not doing that. And that's something we need to hold school board members accountable to when they approve a budget. And we should emphasize that you can't just let this go. Now, some of it deferred, some of that can be deferred. That is an operational decision. If you're planning to close a building down in a few years, there's no point in spending a whole lot of money on maintenance. But,
and,
if you don't...
We love our children so much, and, you know, I think our local assemblies, you know, when somebody presents pushing of a project 3 or 4 years down the road to get, for example, to, I'm going to use the school buildings to get these school buildings fixed, you would think that your local government would say, okay, we can push 3 or 4 projects down the road. Let's at least get 4 or 5 schools fixed.
Yep.
You know?
Well, and school maintenance should be a higher priority than new parks. Just should. And those are the things we have to start holding our elected officials to and keep bugging them about that. And when they're considering budgets, weigh in on that time. So, yeah, thank you for calling.
You have a great day.
Yep, you have a good day, too. We have to take a break here to hear from some of the sponsors that make this show possible. And so we're going to get that, and probably there's going to be a weather report. Stay with us. You're listening to Problem Corner, and we will be right back after these announcements.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
With summer winding down, tree and brush cutting season is just ramping up. Now is the time to get those large leaning or hanging trees taken care of. Maybe it's brush along your road or drive. Get it all taken care of at once with help from the one and only Great Alaska Tree Company. Eric and his crew have been handling Alaska trees and brush for years, keeping your home and property clear from danger and trouble that lurks in the winter. So get it done now.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate or your year-round and emergency service at 978-47.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Sometimes the case isn't about solving crimes. It's about solving lunch. And today, the trail leads straight to Giraldo's. We're talking the all-you-can-eat Italian pasta buffet. Dangerously endless. An Italian sub sandwich stacked sky high. Brick oven pizza with that perfect undercover crunch. Or a plate of classic pasta, as smooth as a Ferrari on the coast. And for the real pros like Higgins, homemade pepperoni stromboli with a fresh Caesar salad. Giraldo's for lunch. It's an open and shut delicious situation.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR. Weather.
Cloudy skies expected overnight with lows around 44. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance of rain showers Tuesday. High temperatures reach up to 63. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered showers Tuesday night. Lows level off around 46. Cloudy. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and we have an open line, and you'd be doing me and everybody else a favor. If you called in, whatever is on your mind, we will try and address it. And we have a phone call right now, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with? We had a call. Well, if you want to try back, we'll try and take that call, or anyone else wants to call in, let us know what's on your mind, and we've got another try. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Howard Rixby from North Pole Chamber. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you for calling in, Howard. What's on your mind?
So I just want to kind of do a PSA. You know, we've been doing the farmer's market out in North Pole this summer here.
Mm-hmm.
And this Saturday is going to be a kind of a special one because it's all kids. So kids can come up and do their put up a vendor a booth, if you would, underneath the big red tent and do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of promoting kids' entrepreneurship there. So I just want to give a holler out that if there's people out there with kids that want to do that, all they have to do is reach out to the Welcome Center and get on the list.
Well, great. And that's going to be this Saturday, correct?
This Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. underneath the big red tent next to the Welcome Center.
11 to 3, and this is across the parking lot from the North Pole Plaza Mall Safeway. So if you're going into North Pole and you're stopping by Safeway, swing over and see what's going on at the Welcome Center and a kids' entrepreneurial presentation, right?
Yeah, normally they do like a kids' lemonade stand thing over the summer somewhere in the community, and that didn't happen this year. And so
mm-hmm.
we, throughout the summer, we've had the farmer's market, and we dedicated the gazebo for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids have done really well, and it's a big positive feedback on it. So we decided to do one special day just for kids, and it's kind of fantastic. I think right now we have like 10 kids signed up, but we got plenty of room for more folks there. And so, and it'd be a good day for families to come out, you know.
Yes, it would. And thank you for your effort in promoting that. That's really important to, well, give everybody an opportunity to promote their businesses. You have craft businesses and whatnot, and there's bazaars, but you're making an opportunity for people to sell things in the summer. And especially, this is great, to focus on kids. Give them the experience and get them interested in how to run a business. That can be challenging, that can be daunting, but you just have to jump in there and give it a go. So
yeah, I mean, and we were surprised this year. I know one kid was out there for one day and made $800 in just one day.
Really?
It's definitely an opportunity. Yeah, it's definitely an opportunity to monetize whatever, you know, hobby or craft or whatever they have. So,
right.
Yep.
Yes, and yeah, it's just a good experience. I used to do that. Well, I grew up in my family ran a restaurant, so I was involved with that through high school. But then I wasn't much of an athlete, but our service club, the Key Club, did concessions for stands, and that gave myself and a lot of others the experience that you need to know how to run a business. And that is just a good life experience, and I'm really glad that you're doing that. Let's see, and you are also have the You Are Not Alone wall. Did I get the name right?
That is true. We had the rededication of that last Friday, and that went well. So we're going into our third year of having the wall up there, and if people don't know what that is, it's a big 16-foot wide mountain-shaped wall that has placards on it.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunch of helping agencies and a QR code on it. So
yep.
Those people that stand in front of the wall that are in some form of crisis, they can whip out their phone, hit the QR code, and get connected to the much-needed resources they need to get over that crisis there. So
yeah.
That's gone really well. You know, I think right now we have 21 agencies on there.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every single one of the agencies on that wall has been touched by someone standing in front of it.
Yep.
And we, I mean, we're hoping to one day fill up that wall because there's that many helping agencies out there. I call unsung heroes, you know. And usually we don't hear about them until there's a testimonial by someone.
Right.
We want them, someone to hear about them when they're in crisis.
Yep.
Anyways, so that's a great thing there.
That is good. Yeah. And you're also trying to build, you have a Welcome Center building out there now at the, in the other side by, it's by,
Pagoda.
Pagoda, thank you. And you're raising funds for some, a bigger and better center, and you have an event coming up in that area?
Yes, so, yes, right now we have a temporary welcome center, just a 14 by 40 building there, but our hope is to build a 2,200 square foot building. Unfortunately, the price tag is like $1.3 million because it's a public building.
Yep.
But we have a masquerade and wine tasting fundraiser that's scheduled for October 18th. The tickets are on sale right now. It's over at the Ale House.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to get roughly 150 people out there all fancied up in their regalia and whatnot. And this is the second time we've done it, and the first time went off really well. You know, all the spouses or partners there drag their husbands or partners out there and have a fun event for the night, and proceeds all go towards the Welcome Center Construction Fund. So.
Good, and a good reason to get out and meet some of your neighbors and friends and help out the Welcome Center. And then how else? You how can people support the help wall and get involved with the North Pole Chamber of Commerce?
I would say this here. One, just to keep it short there, is, you know, we do a monthly luncheon at the hotel the fourth Thursday of the month from 12 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
We do a pretty comprehensive presentation of all the things that are going on, to include the You're Not Alone wall and the Welcome Center and whatnot. I would encourage folks to come out to our luncheon. Pagoda does the catering there. You call into your order to Pagoda, and they deliver it to the lunch while things are going on and whatnot. But come out to that, and that would be fantastic there. That'd be the easiest way.
All right.
I appreciate you helping us out on that, Mike.
All right, very good. Thank you for calling, and we hear the music in the background.
Yep.
And that means a satellite is going to be taken over. But thank you for those who called in and helped out. And we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is History Day, and that's always an interesting program. So we'll say goodnight for today, and see you tomorrow.
The heartbeat of Alaska.
A call for justice in Charlotte. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. The Justice Department and FBI announcing a federal charge in the deadly stabbing on a commuter train.
Acts like this affect the American way. It affects our daily life.
U.S. Attorney Russ Ferguson choking up at times just after speaking with the mother of Irina Zarudska, the Ukrainian refugee killed in the August attack.
More than 150 people.